Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, the New International Version. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, or in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So that is an interesting way to end this scripture. They were afraid. That's Mark's last word here. And you may have seen in your Bible, if you were looking along or in the past, that this short gospel, only 16 chapters, ends with this chapter, chapter 16. And there's, after this eighth verse where they were afraid, there's a couple of verses with the notation that this is the shorter ending of Mark. And then after that, there's a longer section with the notation, the longer ending of Mark. And these are added in brackets and with notations because in the very earliest manuscripts of Mark, those parts are not there. These are later additions. So in the whole spectrum of the gospel reports, we have at one end, John, who's got lots and lots of chapters, lots and lots of words, lots and lots of details and description. And then in between, we have Matthew and Luke that are very similar in a lot of ways as far as what they report, but they're different in their emphasis. Luke is particularly interested in women and children and the poor and the outcast and the unwell. Matthew is particularly interested in the Jewish perspective, more so than the other Gospels. And then at the other end of the spectrum, there's Mark. And Mark is always concise, to the point, brief, direct. That's Mark. Gotta appreciate that about Mark. He's telling the whole thing in 16 chapters, and the first versions of this end right here. Is that any way to end? Is that any way to describe Easter morning? They fled in terror and amazement and said nothing because they were afraid. So let's think about these women. They had been present somehow, somewhere during the crucifixion. They had seen the death of Jesus. They were aware. They knew that he had died on the cross on Friday, that he was put into the tomb, and that a big stone was put in front of the entrance because you had to seal the tomb, of course. And after that, they couldn't do anything. What they wanted to do was to take their spices and anoint the body, because that was the tradition. That's what we still do. We don't just bury somebody. We take care of the body. We treat it respectfully. We comb the hair and put on the clothes, and they did the oil and the spices, and that was what they wanted to do. They couldn't do that on Saturday because Saturday is the Sabbath. This was the ultimate Sabbath because God's own self, God's son, was in the tomb. And they had to wait. And the waiting was hard. Waiting is always hard. And so as soon as they could, as soon as the Sabbath ended, which is that sunrise, they set out. They probably set out before sunrise because it gets light before sunrise. I can tell you that for sure, because I was down at the labyrinth and the outdoor chapel before sunrise this morning, and there was plenty of light for me to be able to see. And so they set out with their spices, and the task that they were doing was one of mourning and grief and pain. And the only thing that they knew to expect was, how are we going to get the stone out of the way so that we can anoint the body of Jesus? So they were very surprised when they found that the stone was already gone. And then they were even more surprised because here's this angel. Let's see, he is a young man dressed in a white robe. I guess that's how we know he's an angel because nobody except angels could keep anything white in those days. So, and besides, that's what he had to be, and they recognized him. And of course, he starts with the typical angelic greeting, "Don't be afraid." In spite of which, they were amazed, they were terrified, and they were afraid. So much so that they didn't even hear or process what he said until later. And he told them very specifically, "Jesus has been raised. He's not here. And go tell his disciples, his other disciples, his male disciples, and Peter, who's still feeling bad because of the denial, that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and go meet him there." Okay, so this is a pretty clear statement. Jesus is not here. He's been raised. Tell everybody else to meet him at the appointed time and place. Pretty direct message. But they were afraid. They were so afraid that they fled and didn't say anything to anyone. At least not then. So what they found was an empty tomb. And from our perspective, because we know the whole story, we know that the empty tomb means that Jesus was alive again. But for them, in that moment, all they saw was what looked like one disaster on top of another, because they knew that Jesus had died. They knew that he had been put in the tomb, and now he wasn't there. Where was the body? What kind of sacrilege was this? That his body was gone. Was it destroyed? Was it stolen? What was it? It just looked like one disaster after another. It wasn't a proof of grace. It wasn't a proof of resurrection for them. The absence of Jesus in the tomb does not necessarily mean, by logic, the presence of Jesus alive. The other gospels address this, and these additional endings of Mark address this, and it was also addressed in one of our other readings for this morning, which is Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And he's talking about the message that he, Paul, has received, that Christ died and was buried and was raised. And that he appeared to Peter, to the 12, and to more than 500 at one time. So that's pretty impressive. That's a lot of witnesses. And then to James, the rest of the apostles, and finally to him, to Paul. And remember, Paul never met Jesus of Nazareth face to face before the crucifixion and the resurrection. Paul met Jesus after the fact. Met him on the road to Damascus, where Jesus came to him and had a powerful encounter with him. What happened was that Paul never saw the empty tomb. but he saw Jesus alive. When I was in seminary, one of our New Testament professors was converted from Judaism previously, before he became a New Testament professor, clearly. And there was some kind of an interview or something with him where I was present, a panel discussion or something. And he was asked, what caused you to convert to Christianity from Judaism? And his response was simply, I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And whoever was asking the question probed for more, and he didn't give more details. That was it. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. That's the proof. That's the proof that he lives, that we have an encounter with him. Not just the women who eventually did see him again, or the 12, or all the others who had known him before, but those who did not know him before. And thanks to God, that's true, because none of us have had the opportunity to know him before, but that doesn't make him any less present to us now. The proof that Jesus lives is that he walks and talks with each of us individually. We started the story at Christmas with the birth of Jesus, possibly even in a cave, which was being used as a stable. 33 years later, he died on the cross and was buried in a tomb, presumably a cave. And that was the end of his earthly life. And then the tomb was empty, and he's alive, and that represents the beginning of eternal life for all of us who have had a personal encounter with Jesus the Christ. Thanks be to God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.